as an introduction from the Bible to what Ben is going to say to us this evening. We're going to take a reading from Romans chapter 5. Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's now my pleasure to speak to us on that subject. Why did Jesus have to die?
Good evening, everyone. So the subject this evening is aimed at looking at what the Bible says about, first of all, why death is in the world, why anyone dies, and then to bring this to Jesus and look at why it was necessary for the perfect man to die, why that was part of God's plan. So to start with, we're going to begin in the reading that we had, Romans chapter 5, and then we'll come back here at the end also. So we first need to ask the question, why does anyone die? And Romans chapter 5 has the answer in there for us, along with many other passages also that we could go to, but we'll just pick out, I think, key verses as we go. from Scripture to back up the points we're making. So Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so death comes on all men because of sin. It is a consequence of our sin that we are that we die. And James chapter 1 also makes that point for us. If we turn over to James chapter 1, it makes the same point and then develops it a bit further. Because we could then ask the question, well, why do we sin? What is sin? Well, sin, Scripture teaches, is anything that is against God's will. Anything that is not God's righteousness is sin. Now, why do we sin? James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so James makes a point also that death is the consequence of sin. And then he adds the point first that sin is a consequence of our own lusts working within us. And then we make the conscious choice to follow our own lust. That is sin. We're all responsible for our own sins because it is a choice to follow either our own lust or God's righteousness. And so that is what sin is, and death is a consequence of that. Now, Romans chapter 5 referred back to by one man sin came into the world. So if we come back to Genesis chapter 3, we'll have a look at that first sin and see how that plays out. How death came into the world by this sin. And then sin passed upon all men because all have sinned. But Genesis chapter 3 also gives a future promise. But first of all, Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And so the woman has had a commandment from God, well, man and woman had had a commandment from God that they could not eat of this one particular tree. But the serpent says, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. So the serpent tempts the woman by saying, God is not telling the truth to you. You can eat of the fruit of that tree. Verse 5, For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so the woman at this point has a choice. The serpent has offered her, or has introduced into her mind the idea that eating this fruit would bring her some benefit, that she would be wise. And so that is her own lust now, to be wise. Or she could follow the choice of following God's law, God's righteousness. And that's the choice that she has. And verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And so the man and woman make their choice to disobey God's commandment and follow their own lust. And as we said from James, that is sin. And so this is the first sin, which introduced sin into the world. And as a consequence, verse 19, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so the consequence of that first sin is death. And so that demonstrates in an example everything we've said so far. Death is a consequence of sin. Sin is a personal choice to follow our own lust over God's commandments. But in this case, in the first sin, God does something to cover a manifestation of that sin. So the first consequence of that sin in verse 7, if we come back to verse 7, the very first consequence was that the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. That was the first consequence of their sin. And that becomes a symbol throughout Scripture. Nakedness becomes a symbol for sin. And in order to cover that nakedness and in symbol cover that sin, God provides a covering in verse 21. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And that covered in symbol, well, it was covered literally their nakedness and covered in symbol their sin. And that sets a principle throughout Scripture that sin is covered by sacrifice. And the only way to restore to some degree that relationship between God and man is to provide a sacrifice, to cover for sin. That is the principle that's set in Genesis chapter 3. And there's also a promise made in Genesis chapter 3. In amongst the curses that come upon the serpent, the man and the woman, there's a promise. In Genesis 3, verse 15. So this is speaking to the serpent, and God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there's four characters at play in that verse. There's the serpent, there's the woman, and then there's the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. There's four characters, and the promise is that it shall bruise thy head, so that's the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so the serpent would harm the woman's seed. And the fulfillment of that promise is in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman's seed ultimately, as can be seen throughout Scripture, is Jesus. And that's what that promise is all about. And the serpent represents sin, as it was the serpent who introduced the idea of that sin into the mind of the woman in the first place. And so the promise is that one day someone would come who would crush sin, who would crush the serpent. A bruise to the head is a fatal blow. And in so doing, the serpent, sin, would bruise the heel of the woman's seed, or of Jesus. Not a fatal blow, but a very painful one. Okay, so we'll come back to that idea in a little while. But we've established what sin is. We've established why anyone would face the consequence of death. But then we ask the question, well, did Jesus sin? Well, no. Clearly, throughout Scripture, particularly the New Testament, it's very, very clear that Jesus never sinned. 1 Peter chapter 2 is an example of that. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So that's just one example. Jesus did not sin. And so we've said that death is a consequence of sin. But if Jesus did no sin, then death is not an immediate consequence for him necessarily. So how does this work? Why does this break the scriptural principle? Well, clearly not. The fact is that he was still of Adam and Eve's seed. And as such, he was still tempted to sin. He was tempted throughout his life to do wrong. And as such, he could not live forever in that state. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. So there's a lot of verses to turn to. If you don't want to turn to all of them, that's fine. But I think it's important to put the verses behind what we're saying. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so the Lord Jesus was tempted exactly like any of us are to do wrong. He was tempted to have those lusts that we talked about earlier. But the difference is he never made the conscious choice to follow after those lusts. However, he could not live forever in the state, in the human state of sinfulness. Although he was not sinful, he was in the human state of being tempted to sin. There's a distinction there that's very, very important. So why then did he have to die, and why did he choose to go through the death that he did? Well, there's two reasons, actually, why Jesus had to die. And the first one is, if you turn over a page to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, this actually highlights both reasons. Hebrews 7, verse 27, talking about how Jesus's priesthood and his sacrifice is better than that of the Old Testament. He says that Jesus needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this, so both of those, he did once when he offered up himself. And so in his death, in his sacrifice, in his offering, it was first for himself and then for the people. And that those are the two reasons. Because in his death, he destroyed the power of sin because he had not sinned. So turn back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews is a very very important book when considering this topic about Jesus' sacrifice. Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. So he was human, flesh and blood. He had the same lusts, the same temptations that we do. That through his death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, it says there, the devil, that means sin. That is sin that had the power of death. And so through his death, having not sinned throughout his whole life, he destroyed the power of sin. Because he had lived a complete, perfect life. And then once he was raised from death, the power of death had also been destroyed because it had been conquered. One had died and had risen again to live forever, and death could no more touch him. And so in his death, he first of all saved himself from the curse of mankind, which is sin and death. And so in his death, he conquered sin, conquered his own flesh, and conquered the power of death. Now, the second reason that Hebrews 7 said was that it was also for the people, for the people's sins. And we said back in Genesis 3 that the principle had been set that the nakedness of Adam and Eve was covered by a sacrifice, symbolizing the covering of sin and the requirement for a covering of sin by a sacrifice. So come back to Romans with me, this time chapter 3. Because as we've already seen, we have all sinned. So Jesus died first of all to complete a sinless life, and in so doing conquer the power of sin, as was promised in Genesis 3, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus would crush sin. But secondly, it was for the people. And in Romans 3, verse 23, it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we have all sinned and are, as a consequence, deserving of death. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, those sins that we have done can be covered. So continue reading verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so being justified talks about being saved, being made righteous through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission or the removal of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so through Jesus' sacrifice, which is referred to there in his blood, our past sins can be covered or can be removed, as it were, through God's grace and through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus had to die first for himself, and he chose to do this. He chose to go through with the death that he did, so that any who believe in the gospel of God, that God has sent to man through his word, the Bible, any that believe in that gospel can have their sins forgiven, and in so doing be made righteous. So come back to our reading in Romans chapter 5. Where we saw in verse 12 that by one man sin entered into the world. So that's Genesis 3 that we've looked at. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Then there's several verses that are in parenthesis, which are very important, but we'll move over them to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, so by the sin of Adam and Eve, everyone from that point has had a sinful nature, and so all men have faced sin and death. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's by the righteousness of Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so through the work of the Lord Jesus, the sin that was introduced into the world in Genesis 3 can be covered. And those who choose to follow God's way can be made righteous despite their sins. And that's the point. If they repent of them and turn back to God. And the end result of that, in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, ever since Genesis 3, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, because he had not sinned, and because his natural human body had been destroyed, he was then raised to live forever, to live an eternal life. And that promise is extended to any who, as we've said, seek to follow after God and accept the gospel that he has preached to us through his word. And that promise of eternal life is extended to those people, to us, if we choose God's way. And so to answer our question, that has ended up much quicker than I expected. But there we are. To answer our question, why did Jesus have to die? There's two reasons. Firstly, to conquer his own sin and his own flesh so that he could be raised immortal. And secondly, to provide hope to the rest of mankind, to us, that any who believe in God and his word, and any who accept the offer of salvation through baptism, can also have their sins forgiven and receive the promise of eternal life. And so, really, the question for us is, do we accept that offer? And will we choose to live a life that God finds acceptable? And will we repent of the things that we do wrong so that God's offer of forgiveness and of salvation can be extended to us?